From the KTO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The Juneau Chamber of Commerce hosted a legislative forum today to hear from local candidates for state office. All of Juneau's legislative seats are in play in the November 6th election. Senator Dennis Egan is retiring, and Representatives Justin Parrish and Sam Keto III are not running for re-election. KTO's Adeline Baxter has more from the forum.
Thursday's forum coincided with the day permanent fund dividends are set to appear in Alaskans' mailboxes and bank accounts. That made it a good time to ask candidates where they stand on using permanent fund earnings to pay for state services.
So, if elected, do you believe the earnings of the PFD should be used to fund government? And if so, should some sort of dividend still be paid to Alaskans?
That's Mike Satre, president-elect of the Juneau Chamber of Commerce. He moderated the forum. All of the candidates said they agree with the legislature's permanent fund draw and felt it aligned with the original intent of the fund. Each also stated their support for continuing to pay dividends to Alaskans. Democrat Jesse Keel, who's running for Senate District Q, said the state will need to continue to draw on the earnings reserve to pay for services going forward, but it must be sustainable.
We need, however, a constitutional limit on that so that the legislature can't ignore the effects of inflation the way it did the last 2 years.
Keel's opponent, independent candidate Don Etheridge, pointed out that the state no longer has a savings account to rely on when oil prices drop.
We need to diversify our income and use part of that permanent fund while we're doing so in order to pay for government that we want.
Satre also asked candidates to share their ideas for a sustainable fiscal plan. Chris Diamond, who's running as an independent in House District 33, said Alaskans need to share the burden, but with limits.
I do believe that there should be language attached to that income tax that says when our revenues are up and we're doing okay, that we can roll that tax back so that it's not a permanent fixture for us.
Democrat Sarah Hannon, also running in District 33, echoed support for an income tax.
But when we have 30-40% of our seasonal workforce being non-residents, it is a way for us to make sure that we are all paying and contributing for services that we want.
Andy Story, a Democrat running in District 34, said the legislature needs to look at all options, including following the recommendations of efficiency audits and more potential taxes.
If we do more just cuts, we know Juneau will take the hit of it because we're a big public government town, and I've talked to many people, and it creates so much uncertainty.
Story's opponent, Jerry Nan Curvis, is the only Republican running in Juneau. He said he does not support an income tax because Alaska is already an expensive place to live. In his closing statement, Nan Curvis made the case that Juneau needs a legislator inside the Republican caucus.
It's wise politics to have somebody in each caucus. A vote for me is like an insurance policy, paid for by the voters who choose to elect me.
Satre also asked three yes or no questions to candidates. All of them supported building a second crossing to Douglas Island. All but Keel and Hannon raised their hands in support of a Juneau access road. And only Hannon signaled support for ballot measure 1. The deadline to register to vote in the general election is this Sunday. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
Alaska's economy has been in recession for 3 years now. According to economists, exactly when the recession will end and what that turnaround will look like is still coming into focus. But as Alaska Public Media's Abby Collins reports, 2019 may be a turning point.
The Department of Labor and Workforce Development puts out a forecast each January on what the next year will bring. State economist Neil Fried says right now he does not know what that report will look like.
Will we predict that we're coming out of recession in 2019? I don't know that yet.
There are some good things happening in Alaska's economy. Job losses are slowing. Certain industries are doing well. And oil?
Oil was the cause for this recession, and things are looking good in the oil patch.
But are these improvements enough for the state's economy to recover? Fried says it's not that simple. The state has lost so much ground, between 12 and 13,000 jobs, that it's going to take a while to get back to where Alaska was in 2015. And even though job losses are letting up, they're still happening. Parts of the economy, like the retail sector, are struggling.
I think that there are signs that point that we are towards the tail end of the recession, but we haven't come out of it.
Mohsin Ghatabi is an economist with the University of Alaska's Institute of Social and Economic Research. He says Alaska is still in a recession, but expects the state will stop losing jobs in the next 6 to 8 months. And that would be a signal that the recession is ending.
End of recession is we're no longer bleeding jobs, we're no longer losing jobs, and we are turning the corner or at least finding a new normal. In my mind, the recovery or a full recovery would be when we actually get back the jobs that we've lost.
There is a really important word that's been mentioned a few times, recovery. Both Fried and Ghatabi say there's a big distinction between when a recession ends and when the economy actually recovers. When the state stops losing jobs and economists are confident that it will stay that way, that marks the end of a recession. Fried says that would probably be determined after 2 quarters of straight growth. But there's no strict definition of a recession's end. Recovery, on the other hand, comes when job numbers are back to where they were at the start of the recession. Remember, the state lost between 12 and 13,000 jobs. That is a lot to make up. Here's Ghatabi again.
I think that the recovery of jobs lost will be elusive. We've lost, depending on from which month you count, we've lost close to 13,000 jobs.
These economists say the economy on the other side of the recession probably won't be radically different. But they do point to one important change that's happened already. A big percentage of revenue paying for state government is now coming from permanent fund earnings,
which is a very different place than oil revenues, straight oil revenues.
Ghatabi says that should help the state's economy out in the future. He says while oil will still be a major player,
what we've done with the budgetary decisions is we've disentangled a portion of revenues from oil. And I think that that should make Alaska more resilient to future oil-driven recessions.
As for this recession, what it will take for the economy to get back to where it was in 2015 and when that will happen is still unclear. In Anchorage, I'm Abby Collins.
Arctic sea ice has reached its minimum extent for 2018. That's according to scientists at the National Snow and Ice Data Center. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Ravenna Koenig has this report on how that fits into the larger trend of declining Arctic sea ice and why that matters.
Sixth lowest. That's what this year's sea ice minimum will come in at, based on the nearly 40-year satellite record. It's tied for that position with 2008 and 2010.
It's a fair amount above our record low, which was a really extreme year in 2012, but it's much lower than what used to be normal conditions in the 80s and 90s.
That's Walt Meyer, who analyzes sea ice for the National Snow and Ice Data Center in Colorado. But why do scientists like Meyer track something like the sea ice minimum? The Arctic used to be cold enough that huge portions of the ice on the Arctic Ocean would remain throughout the summer, creating what's called multi-year ice.
We're taking an area that was basically the size of the lower 48 United States that was continuously ice covered even through the summer. Now we've lost basically about half of that ice cover, and half of that's now open ocean at the end of summer.
That's a striking image, an ice country on the scale of the lower 48 that's been cut nearly in half as the Arctic has warmed. And the borders of that country are essentially what the ice minimum is a measure of. Meyer says the Arctic has been losing upwards of 13% of that area each decade. So what are the implications of that? Here's one. Ice reflects most of the energy that reaches it from the sun, but water traps and holds it. The more ice is replaced by open water, the more heat is added to the Arctic. And what happens in the Arctic doesn't stay in the Arctic, says Meyer.
The Arctic's like an air conditioner or refrigerator for the global climate. And as the Arctic warms, partly because the sea ice is going away, it's like you're opening that refrigerator door. We're losing that cooling ability.
Meyer says that some scientists also see indications that a warming Arctic is affecting the polar jet stream, a current of wind above the Earth that can affect seasonal weather patterns. He says it could be part of what explains increasing frequency and severity of certain weather events, like droughts, heat waves, and heavy rains. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Ravenna Koenig in Fairbanks.
That's the latest from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau. More news online at ktoo.org.